Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and dads in the house this morning. It is great to see all of you here. And happy Father's Day to those of you that are worshiping online. People all in different parts of the planet. My brother's family is in France this morning. So happy Father's Day to my brother over there. And happy Father's Day for those that are traveling out of town. I've got some messages. We've got some friends traveling out of town. So wherever you happen to be today, happy Father's Day to everybody. It's a good day. We're going to honor dads in several different ways today. One of them is, as Pastor Leonard was saying, was a root beer float on the way out. Come on, how long has it been since you've had a dad's root beer float? That's too long. So, and for the record, we're going to share some of that with those of you who are of the other persuasion. So if you're a mom or a female in any way, if anybody who wants a dad's root beer float, you help yourself to it. We are excited to have all of you in the house today. I want to talk to you today about the theme for honor for a moment before I get into the message. And I want to do this from a context you may not have considered before. I want to talk to you about honor from the context of Romans 12, verse 15 in the Amplified. Listen to this. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief." You may think, what does that scripture have to do with honor? Well, it describes one aspect of honor, specifically recognize where a person's at and adjusting our perspective and the expressions to meet them there and share their experience. Doing that honors them and opens avenues of relatability to either helps us amplify their celebration or helps them receive us in our heart to share their grief. So I want to talk to you just for a few moments about this, because the Bible is very clear about how God wants us to connect with each other and to share life with each other. Notice it has nothing to do with them changing their experience or actions. It has everything to do with us changing our expressions based on where they are at. And doing so is an expression of honor. Let me connect that to a date that may be specifically meaningful to you, or it may not be. And that date is July 16th. To the vast majority listening to me today, that date doesn't stir you at all. However, it hits me to the core. It's the date the composition of our family changed for the rest of my life as my mom's final breath slipped through her lips last year. I'm still experiencing the aftershocks of that event in ways that are hard to explain. When I'm experiencing a wave of grief, well-meaning people have indicated that she's gone. She's in heaven. You should just get over it. I assure you that while I understand that they are not where I'm at in the grief and healing process, that particular sentiment doesn't help me at all, nor does it open my heart to them in any way. How many of you know we don't just get over things? Healing is a process. It takes a little time. On the other hand, there have been those that I can sense them throttling down to meet me where I am and share a grief that is mine and not theirs. Those individuals have an opening with me in those moments and are genuinely helpful. How many of you have ever experienced that? Somebody actually throttling down to meet you where you are and connect. I'm grateful for their efforts to reach through an experience that isn't theirs and connect with me there, and I won't forget it. Through that lens, I want to take the opportunity to acknowledge another date that will mean more to some than others, and that is today, June 19th. If you're of African American descent, that date likely registers to you in a way that it doesn't for others listening today. In fact, there's a good chance that some listening today may not even know what this national holiday is about. In short, it's the day our nation honors the end of legal slavery in the United States. Not everyone experiences the same feelings regarding what this date commemorates. For some, it touches a point of pain that God wants to heal. For others, it touches and represents some aspects of challenge they have overcome. Still, others aren't specifically stirred by that date because they have other areas of life that need healing. But all of us share the same promise from our Heavenly Father when we, as Romans 12, 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' celebrations, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief." When we do that, we move towards one another in a way that fosters authentic relationships, genuine healing, and increasing unity. And what does the Father command where there's unity? How many of you know it's worth it? How many of you want the Father's blessings? It's always worth that. So let's ask the Father to do among us what only He can do, that will strengthen who we are as a family and defeat what darkness is always trying to do, which is drive us apart from one another by any means possible. Amen. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. You are our God. And on this Father's Day, we look to You as our Father to acknowledge that You are the one who is the source of everything we will ever need. Lord, we celebrate Your faithfulness in the fact that You take what the enemy means for our destruction and You redeem it and turn it for our good. So with intention today, God, we slow down to connect with one another who are experiencing different dynamics on what this day commemorates than perhaps what we experience, knowing that, God, You're doing a work of healing. What we're looking for more than anything is healing that truly brings transformation, freedom, and deliverance from the grip of pain and stigmas and all the things that go with what the devil does to destroy what You've created. Father, move among us, we pray, and we give You thanks in advance for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, honor. Well, today we're honoring with intention dads and fathers. How many of you noticed it's Father's Day, not Husband's Day? You may be thinking they're talking about the same people. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Now, really, Father's Day deals with a dynamic that goes with raising the generations in our midst, not just being married, amen? How many of you know our nation needs godly fathers? A few more godly fathers. A lot more godly fathers. You know, here's what I want to do today, guys, because a lot of us are thinking, like I've often thought when I listen to a Father's Day message, here it comes again. On Mother's Day, everybody cheers and celebrates all the moms and yippee-skippy and all the things like that. When it's Father's Day, it's here's how you're doing everything wrong and here's what you need to do it better and da-da-da-da-da. Not today. Today we're going to make it simple. We're going to actually just break it down. We're going to look into some scripture and celebrate the things we can do to actually make things fantastic as dads. Amen? All right. So Pastor Sheree and I have raised one from childhood to adulthood, and one of the things I, as a father, cherish most about Pastor Lacey is the passion that she serves Jesus with. It's not that we're brilliant as parents. Here's what actually happened. What happened was the church helped us raise her. The church helped us raise her. And we're making sure to raise our three-year-old in the strength of God working through His church as well. If you've met Tori, you're going to know that we're going to take all the help we can get. She was so funny. Last night, I was up in my office, and I was just kind of working through the message today, and she knocked on the door, and she goes, "Dad." I said, "What?" She tiptoed in the room. She goes, "Don't tell Mom." I was like, in my mind, I was like, well, no promises on this. She goes, "We have a card for you." I was like, "Shh. We'll celebrate that tomorrow." She goes, "Okay." This morning, she woke up early. I was back in my office again, just looking some things over, and she comes knocking on the door. She goes, "Dad, here's the card." I said, "I love that, honey, but I think Mom probably wants to do that later today." She goes, "No, let's do it now." I had a flashback when I was a little kid. I did the same thing to my dad. I was so excited about what we were giving him for Christmas. I said, "Dad, don't tell Mom, but we're getting you pajamas for Christmas." Anyway, we're going to take all the help we can get. So I'm talking to Father's Day, but I also want to talk to the whole church family as a unit, because as a church family, we have influence. Touch your neighbor and say, "You've got influence." Touch the other neighbor that you did not choose and say, "You've got influence too." What I want to do is talk to you today about how we influence the emerging generation to grow up with a faith in God that's on fire and that changes the world in their generation. That's what we're going to talk about today. So I want to look at Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and verse 6. It reads this way: "How joyful," everyone say joyful, "are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be," look at this, "successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. How many of you would love to raise that generation? Amen. Well, my question to you this morning is, what if we could raise a generation that is actually living out those very values? I believe we are, and I believe we can do it even better. You know, I've reached an age and stage in life that I can actually talk about what things used to be like. I never used to listen to my grandparents talk about what things used to be like. Here I am now. Not only am I a father, I'm a grandfather. And I'm going to talk to you about how things used to be, just to see if there's any people who can relate to me in my age and stage. Two words, high dive. Anybody know what a high dive is? You're probably like, what is that? When we used to travel, we would travel from Texas to Ohio, and my brother and I would pray, Dad, pick a hotel that has a high dive. You're like, what's a dive? Because they don't even make pools with diving boards anymore. But back in my day, you could dive from 10 feet off the water. It was awesome. Because, man, if you belly flop on that one, you're going to feel it for about a week. How about this? Back when I was a kid, we could play outside all day long. Parents had no idea where we were. There were no GPS tracking units, no cell phones, no nothing. We could ride our bikes anywhere we could go as long as we were back when the streetlights came on. Remember that? How many remember when you could ride in the front seat as a kid? Better yet, how many of you remember when you could ride in the back window as a kid? Awesome. Or the back of a pickup truck. Come on, that was living. I did all of that, and I survived. It's amazing. Things have changed a lot. Now you have to have a helmet to check the mail. Teachers can't use a red pen because they may hurt somebody's feelings. Everybody gets a trophy for showing up and breathing. It's awesome. We've become so protective, and unknowingly we've created a culture of fear. Kids turn 16 and now a lot of them are too afraid to drive. Turn 25 and they're too afraid to move out. 35, they're still living at home. I have to say, it's not their fault. We raised them that way. Imagine if we could raise a generation with a different reputation. Not fearful, not fretful, but faith-filled, passionate, godly. A generation who's equipped to actually bring the kingdom of God into their generation and make a difference. How about if they were known for being generous, compassionate, godly, influential, and successful? How many of you want your kids to be successful? Well, God has an answer for that. And how do we do that, dads? And as a church family, I want to talk about what the culture teaches and then contrast that with what God is calling us as parents and as LifeLink Church to raise them as. I'd like to ask you to go ahead and take out whatever device you're going to take notes with, because I've got some thoughts and some scriptures I want to share with you. These will inspire you. They will make a difference, because wherever you happen to be at, whether you're a dad or part of this church or part of another congregation that has influence in the generation growing up in that house, you can start today in whatever you're thinking about your past, draw a line and say, today I'm stepping into a new era. I'm becoming a new dad. I'm adding some things. I'm adding some values. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm just going to start doing it. Why? Because it's not what we say, it's what we do. It's not what we say, it's what we do. So let's talk about this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Culture says that success is raising well-rounded, well-educated, happy kids. That's what culture says. Success is raising well-rounded, well-educated, and well-happy kids. Well, let me tell you this. Well-rounded people don't change the world. People who are really good and passionate about a few things change the world. I've got nothing against education. I've got 3 degrees. I've got a bachelor's degree, I've got a master's degree, and a PhD. I love education. But education for the sake of education is not the goal. If it's to equip you to be a standout world changer in the field of your calling, go for it. I do not want you operating on my brain unless you're an actual doctor who's been through school, right? Don't work on my car unless you've had training to do it, right? So education is good, but it's not the end. It's a means to a destiny. It means to an end. All right? Then we want our kids to be happy. Everyone say happy. You know, on the surface, that just seems so good. Well, of course we want our kids to be happy. But the reality is, the way we raise kids now, we don't want them to get feedback that would hurt their feelings. We don't want to tell them the truth. We often don't want to tell them no. We don't want them to do anything that would cause them to be unhappy. And then we wonder why they grow up and they get lost trying to figure out why the world isn't making them happy. We've got to raise them differently in order for them to actually grow up differently. And again, wherever we are today, tomorrow, yesterday is yesterday. Today is today, and tomorrow we get a whole new start. And I love this about dads. Dads, God gave you influence. God gave you influence. God never said, be happy because I'm happy. He said, be holy because I'm holy. Popular culture says success is raising well-rounded, well-educated, and happy kids. But I believe God has called us to do something better. Better. Everyone say better. I believe one day people will look at our children and say they're successful everywhere they go. That they're wealthy, blessed, compassionate, influential, and righteous. I believe that with all my heart. You know why? Because I watch you as a church family do that week in and week out. What are we doing? We're raising a generation of world changers in our house. Here is what I believe God's calling us to do. If you're taking notes, write this down. We are called to raise up Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. We are called to raise up Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. That's what we're called to do. You're thinking, oh, this looks like a lot of work, but I really want to nap. Well, you don't have to do it all in one day. We get to do this over the course of time, but the goal is to not raise kids. The goal is to raise adults who change their world. In fact, I don't even like the phrase raising kids, because for a generation, that's what we've done. We've raised kids in big bodies. We've raised a whole generation of men who don't know how to treat their wives. Whole generation of parents who don't know how to constructively parent their kids, because we're raising kids, not adults. So on Father's Day, I want to raise the bar. Guys, can I raise the bar with us today? Let's lean in on what it means to actually raise adults. And you're thinking, well, what if my kids are already adults? Raise them. You can still raise them up. You raise them up. How? You inspire them. Stop preaching at them. Stop lecturing them. Just change today and start inspiring them. They will eventually hear what you have to say because your life is actually reflecting your values that you espouse. I want to talk to you about something that's more important than you think, and I'm hoping you'll actually pay attention and really listen and receive what God's sharing with us today. We need to be really intentional about what our kids are exposed to. Why? Take this note if you're writing notes down. Our kids become a reflection of what they're exposed to. Our kids become a reflection of what they're exposed to. What do we mean? What they consistently see influences the way they think. The way they think determines how they behave. The way they behave eventually transforms how they what they become. It's based largely on what we choose to expose them to. Here's what God says in Proverbs 13, verse 20. He says it this way: walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. What's he saying? You become like the environment you surround yourself with. If you want to become wise, choose, when you have a choice to make, people who are wise, people who are godly. Why? Because you begin to reflect the environment you choose to submit yourself to. God built us that way. You may be thinking, did he really? In our brains are something called mirror neurons. We're programmed to begin to reflect what we see. Which is great news, because if you're not as wise as you want to be, choose different friends. There's hope. You're not trapped. You're not stuck. Choose different friends. Why? Because you'll begin to reflect what you surround yourself with. I think I will. Thank you. The reality is, just by sending our kids out the door every day, they're being exposed to all kinds of influences, ideas and philosophies and ungodly forces. They're exposed to materialism, greed, over-sexualized culture, natural prejudices, worldly mindsets. What does that mean? That means whenever they're in our influence, we have to be intentional with what we choose to expose them to. When they're, you can't do a thing specifically about what's happening in the hallways of your school, perhaps, by direct application. There are some things you can do by voting. There's some things you can do by letting your convictions be known. There's some town halls you can be a part of. You can communicate. You're not trapped in that either, and you should. But you can't walk into the school and just say, change this, change this, change this. Why? Because the school is largely a reflection of the culture around us. And the culture around us has been steeping in its values for a long time. However, God decided to give his church influence. And when we actually rise up and become who we're supposed to be, we'll become light in a dark world, salt in a tasteless world. It's who God created his people to be. God gave us dominion. We just need to use it better. Amen? World changers. World changers. Everyone say world changers. So what I want to do is highlight three things to expose our kids to. Take a note, write this down. Number one, we want to expose them to the joy of knowing God personally. We want to expose them to the joy of knowing God personally. Listen to those phrase, that phrase, knowing God personally. Not memorizing religious ideals, but knowing God personally. Most kids growing up today are not rejecting Jesus Christ so much as they're rejecting religion and hypocrisy. See, if you actually listen to what Jesus taught, it's hard to reject what he was teaching. He was teaching how to love people, how to guide them with truth, how to be a force for righteousness. It's hard to debate when Jesus says, I want to equip you and empower you to heal people around you. So kids are not rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting the church. Hypocrisy and inconsistency, especially at home. Let me ask you, what produces rebellion? You ever thought about it this way? Rules without relationships. If we're teaching our kids all that Christianity is a list of rules and there's no relationship, we're setting them up for a huge departure. The good news is we aren't. The good news is you aren't. The good news is you have a choice and a chance and an opportunity today to make a real difference. See, when you share joyful experiences with your kids, I want to encourage you to connect them with what God did to provide that. If your son hits a home run in baseball or softball or whatever he's playing, don't just say, way to go, big boy. Actually say, way to go, thanks for stewarding the gift God gave you and working it well so that you can actually be a champion batter. If he wins the 400-yard dash, say the same thing. Don't just champion him. Say, God gave you that strength. You worked hard with it. Look at what God's doing to bless your life with that. Dads, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever influence we have, use it to connect what God is doing with the things that happen great for our kids. Why? Because God gave them those skills. God gave them those talents. God gave them those abilities. When they use them well and they do actually win, don't just say, way to go. Just say, way to go. Thanks for stewarding what God gave you. Why? Because he's helping you do that. Does that make sense? We got to expose our kids to the joy of actually knowing God. Knowing God. Think about opportunities we have all week long. Don't just do it in church. Listen, dads, don't let your kids just see you raise your hands in worship in church. You're like, well, I don't raise my hands in worship. Well, start in church, but then do it past church. I mean, the fact is, it's just a great idea to go ahead and raise your hands in church. In fact, let's just practice. Everybody raise your hands. See how easy that is? Now leave them up just for a second. Come on, it's easy. Say, I worship you, Jesus. Okay, say, Almighty God, there is none like you. Okay, so dads, you can do it. Your physiology knows how to do that. I just taught you how to do that. So you think that's just because I'm a pastor. No, no, no. I actually grew up in the context of what it meant to be raised in the conviction of knowing God personally. I watched my parents worship God at home, not just in church. One of the things that we do over our daughters is we actually lead them with intention to connect the dots with it, knowing God personally, not just the fear of the Lord, but the joy of the Lord, the presence of God. Nothing does that for a kid faster than hearing their dad pray or watch him read the Bible. Just a couple weeks ago, I was riding with Pastor Lacey. She is our oldest daughter. We have a 30-something-year-old. Just 30. Well, it's 30-something. Just 30. I'm in trouble. And a 3-year-old. Every night, we speak the 23rd Psalm over Tori. She's up in a little bunk bed, so she's up on the top bunk. And she can't hardly go to sleep unless we're in there, both of us together. And my job is to declare the 23rd Psalm over her. I prophesy over her little life every night. Then we pray together as a family. And then she goes, sing a song. And one of them is the song I was just singing to you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. What are we doing? We're teaching her the joy of knowing God personally. By the way, parents, when you're picking songs to sing with your kids, pick songs that use first-person singular pronouns that help them talk to God, not just about him. It'll help them connect with him relationally. Why? Because we want to help them connect with the joy of knowing him personally. John chapter 17, verse 3 says this, "Now this is eternal life, that they," what? "Know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." So parents, our job is not done if we just give them an education. We got to teach them to know who God is, but more than that, know him personally. So if we're going to raise world changers, we got to, number one, expose them to the joy of knowing God. Number two, we got to expose them to the presence and power of God in his church. We've got to expose them to the presence and power of God in his church. We've got to expose them not just to the joy of knowing him personally, but we need to expose them to the presence and power of God in his church. Hey, dads, never let this be a question in your home. Never let this be a question in your home. Hey, dad, are we going to church today? That should be as rare as, hey, dad, are we going to breathe today? Listen, if you're in town, you're in the house of God. If you're going to raise a biblically based, biblically anchored, Christ-centered world changer, you're going to have to teach them who God is so they know him personally. But you're going to have to show him the power and his presence in his church. Why? Because we're not lone rangers. We're who we are as the body of Christ. With people who don't look like us, who don't sound like us. We're one body filled with people from everywhere that his presence draws together as a family and says, now glorify me in your midst. Amen? Church is not a place to go. It's who we are. It should be about as optional as school. How many of you let kids choose if they're going to go to school or not? Not a chance. Raise them with the value of worshiping God in his house with his people every week. If we're in town, we're there. If we're not in town, we stream. Why? We're the people of God. We're Christ-centered. Not just Christian, There's a vast difference between Christian and Christ-centered. It's not a destination. It's our identity. Remember, Psalm 112, verse 12 started out by saying, their children will be successful everywhere. Their children. Everyone say their children. Not just your kids. Their, collectively, the church, the children in the church, their children will be known everywhere in that context. Their children. When we work together and serve together, our kids grow up in and with His favor. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. When our daughter, Pastor Lacey, grew up, what she grew up to be, is not just a reflection of who we are as parents, it's a reflection of the goodness of God through His church. If you talk to her, she will say the same thing. I'm not just what my parents raised. I grew up in the context of a biblically based, Christ-centered, worshiping congregation. It made a difference in my life. I'll tell you this, doing that is not going to happen if you bring your kids to church once or twice a month. You've got to demonstrate. Nothing is more important than being in the house of God with the people of God, in worshiping the only true God, feeling the presence and power of true God, in worship together with the family. You're going to need that. Everybody, listen, I don't know if you realize this, but your kids are going to need that. You actually need it. And your kids need it more. What am I saying? You're like, I'm here. I know. Happy Father's Day. What am I saying? Number one, we've got to expose them to the joy of knowing God personally. Number two, we have to expose them to the presence and power of God in His church. And number three, we've got to expose them to the thrill of being used by God. We've got to expose them to the thrill of being used by God. It's not just enough to know Him. It's not just enough to know His presence and power. We're not complete until we actually let Him use our lives, because we were created to contain and let His glory flow through us, making a difference in others around us. I want to read some examples of some world changers that are here at LifeLink Church, and I want to just encourage you with this. I want to talk about Ashley Cooper, who's going into 12th grade. Ashley serves on the Dream Team in Kids Little. She said, I really enjoy Kids Little because I love sharing God's word with children and seeing their relationship with God grow as they get older. Ashley was 6 years old when they began attending LifeLink Church. Imagine, 6 years old, she's been raised in the house. What's she doing? She's investing her weekends every weekend, worshiping God, serving the next generation. Her parents said, it's amazing to see God's hand on Ashley's spiritual growth and formation. In fact, she's joining the missionary trip to Africa this summer, just a couple of weeks. So she's growing up in that context. Congratulations. Let me talk to you a little bit and brag on Sophia Ogles. She's going into 12th grade. She started serving the Dream Team in Kids Little at the age of 9. She started serving at the age of 9. Isn't that awesome? And then she transitioned up to serve in the auditorium on the ushers team with her dad. She serves you as an usher in this house with her dad. Isn't that awesome? Her parents said, we've seen her step up and serve with diligence. She knows that serving is an important way of honoring her relationship with God. A high school senior says, serving God is an important way for me to honor my relationship with God, and I do that first by prioritizing it at the beginning of the week. You talk about wisdom for a senior in high school. Amen? Her parents said, we can't be with her all the time, so having a strong relationship with her Heavenly Father is the best relationship she can have. What are her parents doing? They're helping her form a foundation that will never fail her when it comes to knowing who God is. Let me talk a little about Karis and Gianna Boggs. Karis is going into the 11th grade. Gianna's going into the 9th grade. Both serve on Dream Team's Kids Little. They both serve on that team because they love working with kids. Chris and Kelly says, we see that serving has made a big difference for both of them. For Karis, we see that her get excited for something she really is great at. In fact, she has used her experience with Dream Team to get her first job at Mountainside Fitness Center watching kids. I love that. I can't tell you how many times many of you have come to me to say the things we learn and hear from God's word on Sunday, we actually transition that, transfer it, and apply it in our business world. It makes all the difference in the world around us. It's not just a church thing. It actually makes a difference to us in real life. For Gianna, it has helped her get out of her shell and build relationships, which was a challenge during the COVID years. Dream Team has helped both of them feel more connected to the church. How many of you would love to have your kids feel a little more connected to God and His church? One of the best ways to do it is have them serve in the church. Let me talk to you about Teriani and Rahima Wanjay. Teriani serves in Kids Big Worship, Kids Little, and is now serving the preteens in worship. She said it's a great fit because she enjoys the teens and loves worship. I love that. She already has a heart for worship, and she actually serves in that context. Rahima is serving in kids worship and is starting in the tech team this fall. She said she's been looking forward to being old enough to finally join that team. You know why? Her dad serves in that team. I love that. Their parent says, we are very proud of them considering the fact that they are making these choices on their own, not being forced into anything, but they're doing it by their own decisions. Let me talk to you a little bit about Ethan Peterson, who's going into ninth grade. He serves on Dream Team, on the production team running both our screens. That's the lyric screen up here. He runs those. He's been in eighth grade serving you all year long, going into ninth grade this year, and running camera one. Ethan chose this team because he really wanted to serve but was not comfortable with being on stage in front of people. He said this allows him to be on a team but not in front of folks. His dad says, I get to serve with him. Are you catching the trend on all this? It's not just kids here, go serve. These are kids serving with their parents. He says, I get to serve with him on the same team. Listen to this. It always amazes me that despite running the camera all service long, he still takes pages of notes from every sermon. Then he says, sometimes I have to remind him that the speaking pastor has moved out of the camera shot while his head was down writing sermon notes, which is typically not a problem when I'm speaking because I stay pretty close to this. But when Pastor Tom is preaching, it's a race. He just runs from side to side. It's awesome. Let me talk to you about Sasha Revron and Sanaya Revron. They both serve in Kids Little and Kids Big. Sasha feels called to Kids Big because they are funny. It's cool to see their perspective on God and the Bible. I love that. Sanaya says she serves in Kids Little and loves watching them grow up and see their lives taking shape according to God's plan. Now, this is an eighth grader who says, I love watching God shape His purpose and plan in the lives of kids. Do you hear wisdom coming out of kids? I love this. Their parent says, we are excited for LifeLink Church using and growing our daughters. Did y'all hear that? Parents who are excited for the church actually using and growing their kids. They said, we are waiting in expectancy for how God will shape their lives at LifeLink and furthering His kingdom. Let me brag a little bit on Kalea Del Rosario and Alani Del Rosario. Kalea is going into the ninth grade. Alani's going into the seventh grade, and both of them serve on our greeters team. I love that. Y'all have seen both of them out in the lobby holding those signs. They love doing that. They have a big heart for people. They're excited to stand and greet people and welcome people from before they were old enough to join the Dream Team. Another couple of kids who couldn't wait to get on the Dream Team. You know why? Because their parents are all in. Listen to this. They know the value of serving in the house and see it as normal that our family serves together. That's what they said. Isn't that awesome? Let me talk to you a little bit about Sophia Igiola, who's going into the eighth grade. She serves on the Dream Team in Kids Little and in worship in the preteens as well. She chose to do this with Kids Little because she genuinely loves to help out and seize the opportunity to be with her close friends in the same Dream Team and foster a relationship with the peers. You know what she's doing? She's learning the joy and the value of serving in the house with her friends, God stabilizing and solidifying friendships that will probably last a lifetime in the context of worship as they serve other kids in the house. Isn't that awesome? She also loves that she gets to be mentored and poured into by the kids' little leaders, especially Pastor Ashley, she says. She chose to do preteen worship because she got inspired and encouraged by Pastor Cherie when she would do voice lessons with her at LifeLink's Creative School of Worship Arts. By the way, that's an important part of how we actually equip the next generations to serve in worship. She was motivated to keep showing up no matter how challenging it is because she feels like she's in a safe place to develop and grow under the supportive leadership team, including Pastor Cherie and Pastor Lacey. Her parent says, "We are proud of how she has grown and matured and how patient she is with kids and her dedication to serve, taking responsibility for her schedule." An eighth grader taking responsibility for her schedule. Did y'all hear that? And the times when she's supposed to show up. Some of you are like, "I've got a 25-year-old at home who won't take advantage, won't make sure he's scheduled and know when to show up." This is an eighth grader doing that. Let me talk a little bit about Sean Reveal, who's going into the eighth grade. He serves on our kids team. You're like, "You're reading so many kids." Here's the thing. I'm reading these on purpose. You know why? I actually asked a couple of our pastors, "Hey, give me just a couple of examples of kids doing great things in the house of God." And I got shellacked with a list so long. I just took about the LifeLink Baker's Dozen, which is about 12 or 14 of these, because I want you to hear a sampling of what's going on in the kids in our church. But Sean's parent says, "Since Sean had started serving, he's grown in so many areas. He takes his serve very seriously and does it with such excellence. He has learned the importance of being on time. Some of you parents need to learn the value of being on time. Now watch this. And make sure we, as his ride to church, are on top of our travel time. So maybe get your kids involved and be on time so they can be on time. He's also grown in his taking initiative area. Even on his off weekends, he'll come in and get all the tech equipment turned on without being asked. And if there's downtime during his serve, he goes around the class and asks if there's anything extra he can help with. His parent says, "We love that our church believes and empowers the next generation." Finally, let me talk to you about Elijah Martin, who's going into the fifth grade. This is a fourth grader going into the fifth grade. He serves on the dream team in kids' worship. Listen carefully to this. He said he serves on the dream team because it helps him feel closer to God. That's a fourth grader going into fifth grade. "I serve on the dream team because it helps me feel closer to God." His parents says there are many ways that being a part of kids' worship has helped Elijah grow. But the thing we see and love the most is how his bold confidence in sharing God's word is growing through song and dance. Whether it's in the middle of a conversation, in the classroom, or at Disneyland, he sings and dances unashamed. Then they said, "Sometimes we have to tell him that this is not the time or place, but we love that it's what's in his heart to do." How many of you would love to have a kid who would sing and dance about Jesus anywhere in the world, including Disneyland? Hey, Disneyland needs some help. We need to get a few more kids dancing about Jesus in Disneyland. What am I saying? Our kids don't go to church. Our kids are the church. I wanted to invest about 10 or 15 minutes reading to you about a dozen of our kids. You know why? Because they're not going to their parents' church. This is their church and they know it. So when you serve together as a family, it weaves them into the body of Christ experientially, not just as observers or lessons or things to do, but it's who they are. It's who they are. Listen to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It says, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you serve." But then he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Why? "I know the benefits and the blessings of raising my household in the fear and admonition and the wisdom and the peace and the joy of the Lord." I love that. Dads, we don't wait for somebody to do this. We lead into it. It's how we lead our households into faith. We lead into it. It's what we do. Listen, we are LifeLink Church. We're not just individuals. We're not just households. We're a church family. We exist to link people and God together for life. Five very practical ways we do that. We worship God every week together. We do that through singing, giving, and we study his scripture together. Why? Because he's real, he's big, and he's powerful, and we need everybody to know it. Amen? We do life with people who challenge us to grow in spiritual life. We call those life groups. We're about to start a brand new semester for the summer. You're like, "It's hot, I know, but it's summertime." In fact, we just started. If you're not in a life group, it's not too late. The boxes are out there. It's a part of who we are and how we do life. Make sure you don't miss it. We learn how God shaped us and we live it out. How do we do that? We do that through the growth track. And some of you are in this service today. You've been at LifeLink for months. You've not been through the growth track. Don't wait another day. Growth track starts on the other side of the cafe right after service. I want to encourage you to do that while you learn how God shaped you so you can live out God's purpose in your life. We actually do this by making a difference by serving others. We just talked about, for the last 10 or 15 minutes, about a dozen or so kids who actually grew up and are growing up in our house learning the power of this. We learn how to go out of our way to show God's love in practical ways to people who don't know Him yet. Five very practical ways we as a church family link people and God together for life. And you know what I know, dads? Your kids are not going to automatically do it. They'll only do what they see you doing. Kids and everybody else won't do what you say. They'll do, at best, about 80% of what you do. How we doing, dads? We can do better. And you're like, I thought you weren't going to beat on dads. I'm not. I'm inspiring you. I'm giving you hope. Why? These are choices we can make. Listen, every dad can be in church every Sunday. You can have your kids watch you serve every week on your team. Why? Because what they'll do what you say. I mean, they'll do what you do, not just what you say. Let your kids lead your kids by showing them the joy of knowing God personally, number one. Number two, the presence and power of God in His church. Number three, the thrill of being used by God in His church. Here on Father's Day, I want to say it again. Dad, let's lead into it. Let's lead into it. You're like, hey, what, Pastor Dave, if I'm a little too late in this? Look at me in the eyes. It's never too late. It's never, I want to give you hope. I got to give somebody hope today. It's never too late. Everybody can see change and transformation in all of our lives. Let's don't say it, let's do it. Eventually, the witness of our life begins to influence our kids in ways that words never will. These are choices we can make. Hey, dads, if you want your kids to see a father in our God, let them see the work of God in their father. Amen. And then through you and through us together, we'll watch them live out what we've seen in Psalm chapter 112. Let me read that one more time. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy. Their good deeds will last forever. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. Put your kids, no matter how old or young they are, in your mind. I'm going to read that and declare that over you one more time. Listen. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy. I didn't say that. That's God's Bible that said that. They themselves their good deeds will last forever. I didn't say that. God said that in His Bible. Their good deeds are going to last forever as a testimony. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Hello. Are you paying attention to what's going on in the culture around us? Listen, we are not victims. We're the people of God. We're bought by the blood of the Lamb of God. We've been given authority. We've been given dominion. And interestingly enough, the way we exercise that is not by beating people over the head and making them feel guilty. It's by serving them in the power and the presence and the love of God in ways that inspires them to discover the same. God wired us that way. It's what we're called and created to do. And dads, I don't care where you are in your journey. You can start today. You can start today. You can start today. You can start today. I don't know who this is for, but you can start today. You can start today. Hey, dads, I want to say thanks for being as good of a dad as you are. Some of you are thinking, yeah, but I'm not the best. I'm not the greatest. In fact, I've done some things I'm really not happy or excited about. Listen, look at me in the eyes. None of us are perfect. All of us blow our stack from time to time. All of us have got things we regret. What does God do with mistakes we make? It's called redemption. It's called redemption. In the eyes of our kids, we can never excuse our way around it. We can never explain our way out of it. If there's anything in our past that we're, some of you are experiencing flashbacks, and I yelled at my kid. Instead of actually explaining lovingly what was going on, I just blew my stack and yelled at my kid. It seems like every other afternoon, I'm blowing my stack, yelling at my kid. Listen, here's what I want you to know. It's not too late. It's not too late. Never too late. Never too late. As God works in us and we grow in the ability to demonstrate what he's doing, our kids are wired to respond to what God does in us. Moms, it's the same for you. I know I'm preaching to dads today, but I'm talking to moms too. I'm talking to moms too. I'm talking to the whole church family. Why? Because we're not doing this alone. We're a church family. The whole context of this psalm is about who we are as a people, not just as individuals. Look around. Just take a second and look around. Honestly, some of you aren't turning your head yet. Look around. See the faces in this room? These are the people that are going to be helping you raise your kids. There's probably 40 people in the wing of that wing of the church over there right now, leading kids in worship, teaching them from Scripture, doing all the things that are inscribing into the walls of their heart truths and experiences with God that will last them for a lifetime. Over here with our preteens, there's probably a dozen leaders in there investing today in there. I just walked down the hall, saw Pastor Tiffany leading worship, saw Veronica Del Rosario in the back. I couldn't see all the other volunteers and team members in there, but the whole room was jumping up and down in worship. You know what they're doing? As the preteen generation, they're experiencing God together. You know what? They're experiencing him in ways they'll never forget. You know what you are today as parents? Wise parents. You know why? Because today, this week, you put your kids in the house of God. You know what you're going to do next week? You're not going to hear, "Hey, Dad, are we going to church this weekend?" Don't ever let them hear. Don't let them say that again. Say, "As for me, in my house, if we're in town, we're in church." Why? It's not where we go, it's who we are. You can do it. You can do it. Over the course of time, it will make a difference. God's word does not come back empty. God's word is powerful. It's the only thing that can really change you and the people in your house. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to do that very thing. So take hope today. If there's anything in your past, and all of us have something in our past that we're not happy about, not proud of, let the Lord cover it and draw the line and say, "Today as a dad, I'm stepping over and I'm going to start by doing three simple things. I'm going to help my kids know God personally, enjoy the joy of knowing him personally. I'm going to make sure they're in the presence of God in his house so they can experience his presence and his power every weekend that we're in town. When we're not, we're going to stream it. Why? Because we're the people of God. And I'm going to make sure that they experience the joy of being used by God in the transformation of other people's lives. Why? It's how God created them. Hey, listen, I'm almost done. If we don't teach them and expose them to these things, somebody's going to expose them to something. Somebody will be using your kids for something. I don't know if you heard that, but something or someone will be using your kids for something. Here's what I know. If they know God personally, and they experience the joy of that, if they know his presence and power in his church, and if they experience his anointing and power flowing through them, using them to change other people, they'll always recognize the counterfeit and reject it. Why? They know the real thing. Dads, moms, aunts, uncles, friends, grandparents, on Father's Day, why don't we all take a lead in a little bit and just say, "Let's amp the game up. Let's amp the game up." Why? Because we're going to raise a generation who are successful everywhere, who are blessed, who are wealthy, whose good deeds will last forever, who are generous, compassionate, righteous, who will not be overcome by evil, whose righteousness will be long remembered. And all God's children said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. On this Father's Day, we thank you first and foremost for being the Father that none of us had. You are Father God. And Lord, while some of us are more thankful than others for our childhood, others are struggling with pain and circumstances that none of us would want. The reality is, God, you are our Father. And you make up the gaps. You redeem the challenges. You fill in the holes. You cause healing to flow where pain exists. So right now, God, on this Father's Day, I declare and decree over every father in this house, every dad in this house, be filled with hope. Be filled with inspiration. Be filled with the knowledge of knowing that God built you for the role that you're created in. God gave you authority. God gave you influence. And as we lean into what God's created us to be, we will see who God's created us to have by way of influence through our lives. I bless all the dads in Jesus' name. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to talk to those of you who need to actually say yes to Jesus. If you're in this room or you're watching online and you're saying, I need to actually say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, then today is your day. I'm going to ask that you just say, yes, that's me today. And then join me in prayer as we pray a biblical prayer of repentance out loud. Everyone together say, Lord Jesus. Come on, everybody. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for every sin of my life. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin, every transgression, that you would cleanse me, renew me, and make me brand new. Today, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. No turning back. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come into my heart, transform me from the inside out, empower me to live for God the rest of my life, I pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and celebrate God's faithfulness.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.